Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
N-Y-Y-S-T.
Hello. Why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step, I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bet. Cause we know what we at, yeah, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops there. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
I'm NFL linebacker TJ Watt, and this is my personal best. YPB by Abercrombie is the activewear I'm always wearing. That's why I reached out to co-design their latest drop. I worked with designers to create high-performance activewear that holds up to my toughest workouts. Shop YPB by Abercrombie in-store, online, and in the app. Because your personal best is greater than anything.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
Welcome back. This is episode 494 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What is up?
Bro, it's good that you made it back over the border, you know. I was a little nervous there most of last week that the federales might come and get you, but you made it back in one piece.
I saw the federales. They showed up when I was on the beach. They had their machine thingies. It's pretty gnarly.
We were live on the U on Monday. People were asking about you, and I said you were down in Mexico at a wedding, and it wasn't looking too good for you. And you know, a few people got concerned, but you made it back, and here we are.
Here I am. Almost didn't. Lost power at the airport. All that fun stuff. It was an interesting ride home.
We just saw each other. You're here. We just saw each other about an hour ago. We went to game 162, a game the Yankees won 3-2, thanks to two Ben Rice home runs. But unfortunately, the Tampa Bay Rays, who we put up for the entire year, you know, we were so generous to give them a place to play baseball, and they just couldn't help us out here this last weekend of the season. So the Yankees are going to be playing the Boston Red Sox on Tuesday night in game one of the wild card series. We got a lot to talk about here in regards to the Yankees postseason run and a team in the same town that will not be making a postseason run as well. But before we do that, you will be listening to us right now on your favorite podcast platform. So if you haven't done so already, please like. Well, you can't like it. You can't like it. I always, you know, one day, almost 10 years and 500 episodes, one day I'll get it right, but this is not the day. Please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform, and please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. You can listen to this show early on Monday and then tune in to NYY Underground at 8 p.m. on Monday night, as we'll be doing a full preview of the wildcard series with the entire channel, me, Pete, Kev, and Francis. So we would love you to tune into that. So subscribe to NYYU on YouTube as well. So we went out to game 162 today, hoping to see, a little bit of a celebration. And the Rays took a 1-0 lead, and then it was almost simultaneous with Ben Rice hitting that first inning home run. And we was thinking maybe this will happen today. And then not even, 15 minutes later, the Toronto Blue Jays put up 5 runs in the first inning and kind of really took all the air out of Yankee Stadium at that point. And then I don't know how you felt or what you thought was going on there. Just as soon as Kirk hit that grand slam, it felt like the balloon was popped there, kind of figured that the Yankees weren't going to be winning the division. And it really did kind of suck the life out of being at the game today. The Rays later on in the game had an opportunity. They cut it to 5-4. They had bases loaded with 2 outs, and then Aranda struck out. And then the Jays had enough playing around, and then I think they scored, 8 more runs to put the Rays away 13-4. They win the division. It's kind of where I want to start right here. Excuse me. I hope my voice holds up here. I'm having a lot of issues last week, okay, more than usual. But coming into this final week of the season, we talked about this on the show on Monday while you were in Mexico, that Ryan and I were kind of previewing what the rotation in the wild card series was going to look like, because I didn't think the Yankees truly had a chance to win the division. And they got help from it the most unlikely of places, with the Red Sox, by the Red Sox taking the first 2 games from the Blue Jays and allowed the Yankees to tie the Blue Jays in the standings. But we always said the Yankees had to clear Toronto. Toronto won the season series, and so the Yankees had to clear the Blue Jays. So I didn't think on Monday night the Yankees even had a remote possibility of doing that, because they had to clear 3 games in 6 games. Well, they cleared 2. They couldn't get the 3rd one. And not through any fault of their own, man. The Yankees really did something here that I didn't think they were capable of. They really went out here and played really good baseball for the last month and a half of this season. I think they won 32 games over the last month and a half here. And they showed a lot of grit and resilience that I didn't think that a Aaron Boone-led team had in them to even make this a possibility. So I give a lot of credit to the Yankees for doing that. But I also cautioned everybody, and I said this numerous times over the last week, if the Yankees don't win the division, they have nobody to blame but themselves. Sure, I've had a lot of fun poking at the Rays and the whole joke about we put you up in our house, the least you could do is help us win a division, which was all fun and games. But you shouldn't be in a position to be asking for help from the Tampa Bay Rays the last week of the season. You should have handled your own business earlier on in the season. And when I post this on social media, I get 75 other responses of what could have been, should have been, probably could have, from everybody. Volpe's poor play, Devin Williams blowing games, this, that, and the other thing. The first game out of the break against Miami, and it's all fair. Every little bit of it is fair. But the Yankees went 1-6 in Toronto this year. That is why the New York Yankees did not win the American League East. They went 1-6 in Toronto. If the Yankees win 1 game in that 4-game stretch leading into the 4th of July, they win 1 game in that series, they win the division on Saturday. That's a 2-game swing right there. That even if you cherry pick any one singular game that they lost to the Angels when they were throwing pitchers out there with ERAs of 6, it all still would have led to today, where the Yankees wouldn't needed help to win. All they had to do was win 1 game in Toronto in that 4-game series, and they would have been the division champions, because it would have created a 2-game swing in the division. They didn't do it. They got swept. Now we got to play an extra round in the postseason this year. So I hope that this is a lesson to everybody that tells you, oh, it's early, it's only April, it's only May, it's only whatever. Every single game matters. Once the season starts, there is no more exhibition. There is no more it's early. The only time you can use it's early is if the team gets off to a slow start and people want to start bitching that they're not going to make the postseason. You know, if they start, let's say, 1-5, then yeah, it's early. You have time to make that up. But when you're playing division teams, no matter the point in the season that it is, you have to play better. You have to beat the teams in your division. And we've seen the importance of it come to light here in this final week of the regular season, where the Yankees finished the regular season on an 8-game winning streak, tied in the standings with the Toronto Blue Jays, and they're playing on Tuesday while Toronto gets to rest until Saturday because they couldn't win, especially on the road against the Toronto Blue Jays. Will that keep the Yankees from their ultimate goal this year of getting back to and winning the World Series? It remains to be seen, but it has made the Yankees' path back to the World Series that much harder that now you have to play a team that you've also struggled with this year in the wild card series, and they're lined up with their ace to go against your ace on Tuesday night, and probably another guy in Brian Baio that you have struggled with it throughout the course of his career. It's not a situation that the Yankees want to be in. It's not a situation that I feel supremely confident about, but it is what it is. And this is the path back to the World Series for the Yankees. And it's just stressing the importance of playing every game like it matters. I was saying months ago that there is no tomorrow for the Yankees. The Yankees continued this persistence of playing like there was always tomorrow, and it has come back to haunt them here now where they weren't able to leapfrog the Blue Jays. And I hope that as we go into 2026, we realize the importance of playing well against your division and not punting games and putting your best foot forward out there and trying to win as many games as the division as possible, whether it's April, May, June, July, or August, because come September 28th, you're going to you might wish that you won one of those games, and we're in that situation right now. And that's only the Yankees' fault. It's not Tampa Bay's fault for not helping the Yankees out early throughout this weekend. It's not the Red Sox' fault because they couldn't pull off the sweep, you know, earlier in the week. It's nobody's fault from the Yankees but their own. Remember, 1-6 in Toronto this year, even 2-5 gets the Yankees a division championship. So I just hope that the Yankees go to bed tonight and with a lesson learned here, that you don't want to play in the wild card series, beat the teams in your division.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been sitting there harping on the they should have – listen, if they had one win against the Marlins, we're in a different position. They had gotten a win against the Angels with the two worst pitchers with the two worst ERAs. It's different, and that's because those games, pretty much, you would look at the schedule, you would look at the teams, you'd almost pencil in the win. That's why my mind keeps going to those. Playing Toronto's not a penciled in win. I've been saying it all season long. Divisional wins are the most important wins that you can get, and you have to play better during the divisional series. But like, to me, the Miami, like, there's no way we should have been swept. We should have taken at least one of those games against the league's worst pitchers. Those were penciled in wins. And it goes to show you that when the Yankees were sucking, they seriously sucked. There's no taking it back, and they need to own that. Because when you lose those games, here we are, look at it now. It's apparent that they ultimately affected the end goal here. Now, going against and playing Boston, yeah, I am, you know, a little apprehensive of the whole thing, because they've kind of owned us this season. They owned us a lot last season, and they've been serious competitors against us. Am I going to sit here and say, hey, we're going to lose? No. Am I going to sit here and say, hey, we're going to win? No. I don't know. If I was a betting man, I definitely wouldn't be betting on this series, because I don't know which way it's going to go. So what, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, you told me there's playing at 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, I'm envisioning that my hair is going to start turning gray. It was the Yankees' own fault. They controlled their destiny when you look at it. And all they had to do, like you said, 1-6 in Toronto. All they had to do is win an extra game. Put something together. But it goes to Jazz swinging for the fences every time he was up, or is it, Judge wasn't hurt during that series, it was later on in the season. So like he was there, like they couldn't put it together. It's been a long season. I can't go back and recall the games. You're much better at that than I was, but that was frustrating to watch. If they're not going to be like, and then I was there for the beginning of the season when they were seemingly owning Toronto, and Toronto looked like ass because Toronto started off the season pretty slow. And there was a doubleheader. I think we took both games. I think we might have even swept them that series. I'm not even sure. I don't remember. But then Toronto put it together. We seemingly fell apart and they capitalized on that. And then when everything evened out, here we are tied, they get the tiebreaker. It sucks. It sucks not to win the division because of that. But it sucks even more when there was games that you really should have won, that anybody and their mother would have thought, hey, yeah, Yankees are going to at least take two of these, and then they got swept by the Marlins. That's like the most egregious thing to me out of this whole season. Like, you can't lose against bad teams. If you're going to lose divisional games, you got to beat up and bully the bad teams. And they didn't. And that's ultimately what led us to where we are today. It sucks. It is what it is. And you got to look at it as like, hey, we get an extra two, hopefully only two, but we might get an extra three games of baseball this season.
I might have said during my opening monologue there that the Yankees still would have needed help. I might have said, I don't remember anymore. That's how my mind is fried. That I can't even remember what I said 10 minutes ago. Yeah, if the Yankees pick up any random win against Miami, against the Angels, against anybody that you thought they should have won, they don't need help today. All they had to do was take care of their business. But my mind keeps going back to 1-6 in Toronto that today could have been rendered irrelevant had they just won a game in Toronto in that four-game series, or when we were scuffling and we went back up there a few weeks later, if they had taken that series and just won an extra game somewhere along the way. They had a lead with Max Fried on the mound in that four-game series, and they lost. Those you could have rendered today irrelevant, where you could have given Judge the day off. You could have given Stanton the day off. You could have rested guys and gotten them ready and been in a better position where you're not stressed out trying to win game 162 just to win the division. So I really do hope that the Yankees realize the importance of winning divisional games. You can't go and get swept inside your division and at any point in the season. And yeah, like you said, and everybody's telling me the same thing. If they would have beat Miami, I get it. And we pick up any one of those games, they win a division. But to stress the importance of winning divisional games, it can't be understated. You can give me a sweep against Miami if you're going to take, the season series against each and every one of your divisional opponents. It's not a gimme to even say that Baltimore, the Yankees won six out of the last seven games that they played against Baltimore this season after not really playing well in the division for most of the year. So, yeah, that's nice to see because, again, they're not gimmies, but you have to stress the importance of playing well in the division. And they didn't, and to be honest with you, they didn't really do that. The Yankees beat Toronto only at home this year, lost up on the road. That could be a problem come, should they get past Boston, because Toronto's going to have home field advantage. Boston, they've only beaten one series this year, and it was the last one they played. So I don't know, maybe that does that bode well for the Yankees? It remains to be seen, but I don't want to come on here and sound too negative, because there's a lot to feel positive about. This team has been, I thought they won 32 games, but they have won 32 games. The Yankees since August 11th have gone 32-12. That when they lost that series to the Houston Astros, we came on here, and I think that we were pretty low at that point. That they, again, against another good team, even though Houston failed to make the postseason, another bugaboo for the Yankees was being able to beat Houston in big games. And they lost again a series to the Astros with Max Fried on the mound. And that was kind of bottom. That kind of bottomed out there for Max Fried, too, because I think Max Fried really turned the season around after that and has been the ace that he was in the first half of the season. And the Yankees, and it all started with Minnesota. It always seems to start with Minnesota. And the Yankees have gone 32-12 since then. They put themselves in a position here that we are actually mad that they couldn't get the Division One on the final game of the season, because I don't think on August 11th anybody thought the Yankees were had any, you know, reasonable expectation to win the division. So I have to give the team a lot of credit for that. I have to give Aaron Boone a lot of credit for that, that the team rebounded and played really good baseball over the last month and a half of the season. And people point to the schedule, and that's fine, but they also went 7-5 in the gauntlet. They only lost that one series there inside the gauntlet to the Detroit Tigers. The Yankees went out there, and they handled their business. They finished the season on an 8-game winning streak. Like you said, we've seen them lose to bad teams over the course of the year, lose to bad pitchers a lot over the course of the year. And they went out there and they went 32-12 to finish the season. That's something to be proud of. That's something to feel really good about heading into Tuesday and the wild card series beginning. Because I'm telling you right now, my only reservation about the New York Yankees getting back to the World Series this year is the fact they have to play this extra round, and I don't know how that's going to impact them and how much energy it's going to take them to get past the Boston Red Sox, where you're not going to have Max Fried lined up for Game 1. You're going to have him lined up for Game 2 if you get past the Red Sox. And is that a big deal? I don't know. It could be. But even the Yankees that got to the World Series last year, I didn't have the confidence in the pitching staff, even with Gerrit Cole, that I have in this pitching staff, because Max Fried is essentially replacing Gerrit Cole as the ace of your staff, as the pitcher that you rely on to expect to win out there every year. But who was the guy that you expected to go out there and win after your ace? We didn't have him last year. We got him this year. His name is Carlos Rodon. It's finally taken him 3 years to do it, but he's here. He's the guy. I feel very confident with Carlos Rodon on the mound in a postseason setting this year. Well, who's your three? We didn't really have one last year. Now we do. His name is Cam Schlittler. He's going to get the ball in a do-or-die game three if the Yankees get to that point on Thursday night. Cam Schlittler's getting the ball. And you can't understate the importance of what Saturday was for the Yankees. They wanted to win the division. You could tell by the lineups that they put out there over the last week that they wanted to go out there and try to win this division. And he went out there and he threw 7 scoreless innings and struck out 9 guys. Probably his best start of the season. You don't feel confident with Cam Schlittler going out there in a do-or-die situation? You should. A little young ignorance, a little young arrogance out there throwing 99 could just be what the Yankees need. And you look at this bullpen. I don't think anybody's automatic in this bullpen, but you know what they do? Especially over the last, you know, couple of weeks here, they get outs. Is it always pretty? No. Is it going to make you need some alprazolam? Yeah, it probably will. But they've been getting outs. They've been getting the outs that they need. And this offense is not just one guy. Trent Grisham hit 30-plus home runs this year. Ben Rice had 26 home runs. Giancarlo Stanton swings his dick bick every October. Cody Bellinger, I wanted Cody to get that fucking home run so bad. So just because I was on here loud all offseason, he was going to have a 30 home run season. But 29 and 98 is nothing to sneeze at, man. Because Joel told me, a lot of you told me he was washed, he was a bum, he wasn't going to do anything. Where would the Yankees be without Cody Bellinger this year?
Yeah. He's a big piece of the puzzle.
This offense is a lot. I just want to finish this. I think this offense is a lot more balanced than it was last year. It wasn't just two guys. And if Anthony Volpe ever wakes up and is anywhere close to the player in October that he was last year, with a Jazz Chisholm, if he takes that 70% approach, who had a 30-30 year this year, and then you can bring in a guy like Caballero late to steal a base, although he does get picked off way too much for my liking for a guy that steals as many bases as he does. And even Austin Wells with 70 RBIs and his penchant for the sac fly, which, again, sac flies are underrated, man. Score runs and run scoring situations. Then, like I said, if you can get anything out of Ryan McMahon, this offense is a lot deeper than it was last year, where you don't have to rely on one or two guys. And I really, truly believe, I've never come on here and said this. It was always just a blind hope that the greatness would take over into October. I really, truly believe that we're getting the 09 A-Rod run from Aaron Judge this year. I really believe that. This is finally the year that we're going to see that level of greatness in October from Aaron Judge. The Yankees need it. He needs it.
This is kind of like a put-up, shut-up year for Aaron Judge. He needs to go out there and put it all on the line because, you know, so I'm in Mexico, and I'm in a pool. And you know what? I was walking around all day with my Yankee hat on, you know, because, you know, what else am I going to do? And I got people that I never met in my life on a resort in Mexico ringing up Aaron Judge dropping the ball in the fifth inning. And you know what? It's like I can't even get out of this country to get away from it. And it pissed me off. And if it pisses me off, I'm sure it pisses Aaron Judge off. And this is his year to redeem himself. Last year, he made a play that he drops a ball that he makes 99 times out of 100.
He'll make it 101 times out of 100.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's insane that that happened and that if I have to live with it, it's got to bother him. That ball was sold, which I think was the biggest scumbag thing the MLB has ever done, that they took that ball and put a sticker on it to certify it. But that ball sold for, what, $40,000 or something stupid like that? That's in his brain. He knows that. Aaron Judge, he just won the batting title for the season. He needs to go out there, and he needs to put up fucking balls left and right. I don't want to see swing and misses and strikeouts. I want to see contact. I don't care if he flies out at that point. But he needs to go out there and redefine himself in the postseason because we can't have, oh, the – you know, Aaron Judge chokes bullshit anymore. You know, we don't have Nestor Cortez for Aaron Boone to throw in the last minute to, you know, screw things up. Our relievers, I think, it's pretty set in stone. We know who's going to go to and what situations this year. If the Yankees don't make it out of the first round, it's going to be such a letdown. Because in the beginning of the season, there was so much promise there, and it was so exciting. Everybody talked. Plan B was working out. It's so great. We got the real number 22 and all the shit talking back and forth between Mets and Yankees fans and all this and all that. And then for them to fall off the face of the earth the way that they did and get so frustrating, for them to come back and put it together the way that they did, if we lose in the first round, I'm going to be heartbroken more so than I think I've ever been because this team has it in them to do it. You know, Anthony Volpe sometimes somehow gets a fire lit up under his ass and he could go on a tear. He did it last year in the postseason. He needs to do it again this year in the postseason. I was at a game versus the Padres. The Yankees were walking all over the Padres. There was bases loaded. I looked at my wife. She's like, "You ready to go?" I'm like, "No." Austin Wells is up with bases loaded. I'm not leaving. And Austin Wells hits a freaking grand slam. That's like the last time I really remember Austin Wells doing anything great. But you know he's a good player. What's going on here? You know? So we have great players. Ben Rice is an animal. Today, were you surprised when he hit a second home run? Because I wasn't surprised. It's no, you I know ben, he.
I tweeted this earlier in the week. I really believe that we're going to look back at this postseason run, and the Yankees are going to win a game because of a big home run from Ben Rice.
He's been a godsend. No one thought he would be anything. He came up. We're like, oh, who the hell's Ben Rice? And the kid's playing first base, and here we are this year. He's phenomenal. You can't not have his bat in the lineup to the point where Paul Goldschmidt started off this year batting four something, and now you don't even see him anymore. We have the pieces to win. We should at least. I mean, listen. I'm not, like I said when we started this off, I'm not confident that we'll beat Boston, but it should be a battle. You know what I'm saying? She should be competitive. Do we have a team that could beat Toronto? You'd like to say yeah, but again, I don't have the confidence that I did, but it should be competitive. Should we be able to beat them? I personally think so. Would I bet on it? No. No, now I'm being wishy-washy. Maybe that's the, you know, I'm being a scared little bitch about it, and I'm already nervous. You know, next week, New York Yankees Sports Talk brought to you by Alprazolam. That should be the headliner, because I'm going to be eating friggin' little orange pills left and right, because I'm going to be getting gray hairs.
We don't condone that type of behavior on this show, okay?
It's prescribed. No, but it's like, what? It's so crazy that here we are. We should have taken the division. We shouldn't even be playing this week. We should have some time to relax, to recuperate from a long season. And instead, here we are going to be, you know, I can only imagine how you know, I want them to take it in two games so I can relax much earlier on. But in Yankee fashion, do I think that they'll do that? And the Red Sox are a formidable team. You know, Alex Cora is a great coach. He's a great cheater and he's a great coach, you know. But, you know, I just see Duran with his mullet just doing something to us that's going to piss me off. And it's just, you know, even with that, you know, I thought when they traded Rafael Devers, the season was over for them and we weren't going to have to see them again. And here we are. And it's like, fuck, you know, and I just want to move on from the Boston Red Sox. And I just want to absolutely clobber Toronto. Like I told you before, I feel more confident in playing Boston than I do Detroit. I really feel that Gleyber Torres has a chip on his shoulder and something to prove. And I don't want that to happen to the Yankees, where that's what knocks us out of the postseason is Gleyber Torres, because we would never live that down. So even just in that aspect, I'm much happier to be playing Boston. But, you know, there's no Astros to worry about this year, who always seem to be the ones to knock us out. Like, this should be our year. And it just sucks the position that we're in. And, you know, you could go back, you could check what we've said throughout the season. We've harped on that, the divisional wins. And it came down to that. I don't know. So now I got to listen to ESPN for two, three more fucking games, which is even more of a travesty. I don't want to listen to ESPN and these regional assholes.
You don't have to. Okay. You just put the game on mute.
Put it on mute. Listen to it.
Listen, I think anybody that's listened to the show for a long time knows that I've always been honest here. And sometimes I'll get a little crazy just to try to kind of pump myself up and pump the fan base up, you know, heading into big games and big moments. But if I really truly thought that this team didn't have what it takes to win the World Series this year, or at least get back there, I would come on here and I would say that. But I really think that this team does have what it takes. I think this team can match up with anybody in the American League. Just look at the record. They finished tied for the best record in the American League. That didn't happen by accident. I think the Yankees, over the course of 162 games, especially the final month and a half of the season, showed you how good that they can be. And yeah, we said a lot of things about this team when they went through that 2 month stretch where they were the worst team in baseball. But you know what? They did pull the nose up. This often doesn't happen with Aaron Boone's teams. The Yankees got punched in the mouth and they were down for the count, man. It looked bad. I think at one point they were tied with the Guardians for the final wild card. And we were saying, how could you be tied with the Guardians for the final wild card? And as wild as it is, the Guardians are the friggin' AL Central champions. I mean, you want to talk about, of all the crazy shit that happened in this season and the teams that are and aren't in the postseason, how the Guardians, where I think they were 15 games out at one point, are the division. They won the Central again. I mean, they're inevitable. But the Yankees were in a lot of trouble in August. And then, you know, as soon as they saw Minnesota, it's like, it was like their elixir. And they went 32-12 to end the season. And that number should mean a lot to you guys, man, because a lot of yous were, they won't make the playoffs, they won't even finish 500, and all this nonsense that I heard from a lot of different people, and they went 32-12. And they finished with the tied for the best record in the American League. So the Yankees, and they finished the season strong. So if there's anything to take away from that, they're going to be playing in the wild card series, is that they're hot right now, and they're playing good baseball. And they're playing as good of a baseball as they played all season long. And hopefully that means something. It might not mean anything, but hopefully that means something. But the Yankees are going to be facing a tough customer. Garrett Crochet is going to go in game one for the Red Sox. And this is why you go out there and you set a record-breaking contract to bring Max Fried in here for Tuesday night. That's why Max Fried is here. To go out there and pitch game one of a postseason series against another team's ace. That he was brought here to go 0-for-0 and match the other team's ace to get into a battle of the bullpens. Which, you know what? Maybe advantage Yankees until we get to the ninth inning, because the last thing anybody, any Yankee fan wants to see after the torment of watching Aroldis Chapman end our season by giving up home runs multiple seasons is him standing on the mound in game two or three, striking somebody out to send the Yankees home. That's the last image any Yankee fan wants to see. And he's been that friggin' good this year. But this is why Max Fried is here, to take the ball in game one. And this is what you brought Carlos Rodon here to do, is to take the ball in game two. And he did that last year to mixed results. But you brought him here to take the ball in game two and be confident in his abilities to deliver a win in game two. And I feel confident in him. It's not going to be easy. The Red Sox are a pain in the ass to deal with. We've seen that all season long. The Yankees lost three or four series to the Red Sox this year. So what's it going to be like on Tuesday? I don't know, man. It wouldn't have been any easier for the Yankees had to Detroit come in here, because you'd be facing Tarik Skubal. But again, Skubal, Crochet, you paid Max Fried a lot of money for Tuesday night. That's what you paid him for. And with Gerrit Cole not here, it's just ups the importance of Max Fried being here and being the ace of the New York Yankees. So the best thing that the Yankees can go out there and do on Tuesday night is Max Fried throws up a zero and Aaron Judge puts one in the seats. And that'll take a lot of pressure off this team. It'll take a lot of pressure off this fan base. And it'll just settle us into the postseason here. That Fried goes 1-2-3 and Aaron Judge puts one in the seats. I don't know how the rest of the game will shake out, but I'll tell you what, I'd feel a lot better about the Yankees going forward in October and Aaron Judge going forward in October if that's how the scenario plays out on Tuesday night. We go 1-2-3 in the top half and Judge deposits one in the bottom half. That's the perfect way to open the postseason for the Yankees, and that's a way to feel really confident about this team moving forward here. Put the Red Sox on the defensive immediately, and it's got to be the big guy. It's got to be number 99 that does it. Aaron Judge has won the American League batting crown. I think he finished hitting, what, 330?
330, yeah.
First player ever in the history of baseball. They've been playing baseball before we had electricity, okay? First player ever to win a batting title while also hitting 50-plus home runs. So you want to talk about all the history a 247 hitter is making because he's got a fat ass? You want to talk about all the history he's making because he's a catcher? What about the history Aaron Judge is making? Nobody's ever won a batting title hitting 50 home runs in a season. Aaron Judge did it. It's time
331.
For 331. Don't want to cheat him a point. It's time for Aaron Judge to cement his legacy as the greatest right-handed hitter of our generation, and possibly ever, and go out there and have the 09 A-Rod moment, have that run to carry the Yankees into the World Series. Now, A-Rod didn't have the two extra games to win that Aaron Judge is going to have in this season, but if he goes out there on Tuesday night and puts one in the seats against a guy like Garrett Crochet, Aaron Judge is going to fly through October. You know it. I know it. We all, and you need it. I need it. We all need it.
This I was just going to say, I need it. We want it.
This has got to be the postseason for Aaron Judge. And he's going to be feeling a lot of pressure come Tuesday night. And all it's going to take is one swing on Tuesday night to relieve all that pressure.
Well, I wonder, well, Aaron Judge, I think I read it before. He's the first player to hit 50 home runs and win the Bang title. He's 331, and he has, I think, 33 intentional walks.
36.
36 intentional walks. Like, that's just insane. Aaron Judge, and this is what I told you this before while I was reading online. People are complaining, and someone said, I saw, and I thought it hit the nail on the head, is that people have Aaron Judge fatigue. It's tough. I said we've all saw it with Tom Brady. Everybody got sick and tired of watching Tom Brady's face always be there. It's the same thing for Aaron Judge. And I can understand to a certain extent people feeling that way, but he's the greatest right-handed pitcher that me and you will ever see. Our kids might ever see. You don't know. He's breaking everybody's records. He's breaking Yankee franchise records. The guy's great. Awesome. I want him to get a World Series ring. I need him to redeem himself from last season. He needs to redeem himself from last season. That's where everybody goes. Oh, yeah, he's so great, but where is he in the playoffs? Like, okay, well, this is his year to do it. Here, put up or shut up. He needs to do it. You can't. And if he doesn't, then is he, you know, I'm not going to say he's not the best right-handed hitter we've ever seen. It's just like, you know, can he stand the pressure at that point? You know, he comes up big in every other situation. So, but, you know,
we're going to see what happens on Tuesday. But like I said, all it's going to take is one swing to relieve that pressure.
Yeah, it changes the momentum of everything.
And if he can do it with a couple guys on and give the Yankees like a nice 2 or 3-0, and they'll probably bat. I don't know. I would imagine they probably bat him second with a lefty. And that's another thing I want to talk about here. I don't want the Yankees to overthink this lineup on Tuesday night here. I know that Crochet is pitching. It's the postseason. Your best 9 guys have to be out there regardless of lefty righty. Okay, I don't want to see Austin Slater anywhere near the fucking playing field on Tuesday night. Okay. You have to. This is the postseason. A loss on Tuesday night can derail this entire thing here, because immediately you have to play game 2 like it's game 7, because that's essentially what it is. And you don't want to be in that spot. And Austin Slater, in no universe, is one of the Yankees' best 9 players. So if you got to put more lefties out there than you probably want to against Crochet, then you got to do it. I don't know, like a situation like you wanted to say that Paul Goldschmidt's got to play first. Okay, fine. You shouldn't have a problem with that because of the way Paul Goldschmidt hits against lefties. Now, it's going to be a tough call between Ben Rice and Austin Wells, because I don't think realistically you want to leave either one of those guys on the bench, but you're going to have to. And I think, especially that the way Fried shoved the last time out with Ben Rice behind the plate, you almost have to lean towards Ben Rice getting the start on Tuesday night. Outside of that, I mean, Jazz is playing second. Volpe's playing short. This is the other area. Are they going to get too cute at third base with McMahon versus Ahmed Rosario? I don't think you can afford it. You can't. Run prevention is almost more important in the postseason than the runs you are going to score. Now, obviously, that you're going to say you're dumb. You have to score more runs to win a game. No shit, Sherlock. But you also, it's at a premium, even more so in the postseason than in the regular season, to make every out, to get every out. Do not give a team extra outs, okay? We lived through this last year. We gave the Dodgers more than 27 outs multiple times in that World Series, and that's why the Yankees lost. And I'll go to my grave saying this. Did the Dodgers deserve the World Series last year? 100%. Did the Yankees aid in giving the Dodgers the World Series as much as the Dodgers won that World Series? 100%. And anybody that says anything different to you is lying. The Yankees were their own worst enemy in the World Series last year, both in the decisions they made in the bullpen and the way that they played fucking defense. Okay? And we don't have to rehash that, but that's just a fact of life. So, do I want to see McMahon go out there and potentially strike out three or four times against Garrett Crochet? No. And is Ahmed Rosario going to give me a better chance of scoring runs? Absolutely he is, because he's already hit a home run off of Garrett Crochet. We saw that the last time, I believe. Didn't he hit one off of Crochet the last time the Yankees played the Red Sox? But who do you feel more confident in getting every ball that's hit to him and making all the plays and not doing something stupid out there that's going to give the Red Sox four or five outs in an inning? Ryan McMahon. He's got to play on Tuesday night. I'm sorry. I'll live with the strikeouts and the empty at-bats. I need him to play defense more than I need Ahmed Rosario to possibly get a hit in that situation, in those situations. Because if things go according to plan, I got seven or eight other guys in the lineup that I can rely on to score runs and get hits that I need Ryan McMahon's glove out there. Because the one thing I know Ryan McMahon is going to do, it's going to be to play defense. And you, again, you can't get cute out there that you don't want to in the outfield. I mean, honestly, I don't care who the hell is pitching. Judge, Trent, and Belly is your outfield for the entire postseason. You can't mess with that. That's why I'm saying you can't get cute and think that Austin Slater is going to be the answer to anything here, because you can't tell me that you're off, that your best defensive outfield isn't Bellinger, Grisham, and Aaron Judge, because it is. There's no debating that. And what are you gaining by putting Austin Slater's bat in the lineup, compared to what you might lose by taking Trent Grisham out of center field? You can't get too cute here. You cannot overthink this. The only move that you would do differently, in my opinion, and you can disagree with me if you want to, and that's fine, that you would do differently with Crochet on the mound versus a right-handed pitcher on the mound, is Paul Goldschmidt is starting at first base on Tuesday night. That's the only thing I do differently, because I guarantee you who I can tell you who Max Fried wants playing third base on Tuesday night, and it's Ryan McMahon.
Ryan McMahon.
Right.
Well, I think I don't know the stats for this year. Last year, I think he was. Max Fried was number one for getting ground balls to third base. I think that's a big thing. That was a whole why they wanted a defensive third baseman and yada yada yada. I don't know where he's at this year with it. I haven't checked, but that's a big thing. A Ryan Mann defensively, he is. He's really good. Offensively, he's ass. That's give or take, and that's kind of where we've been all season with a third baseman. I was talking to before about how I just kind of wish we had Oswaldo Cabrera back, you know, and it was nice to see him in the booth the other day, but I think that would put us in a different position, you know. It sucks to have, you know, you have the defense now, but still no offense out of that position, you know. Ryan McMahon, you figure's a wash. It's going to come on everybody else at this point. You expect more of them. Are you going to play Paul Goldschmidt over Ben Rice at first? You want a defensive? Yeah, I mean, defensively, Goldschmidt's better than Rice. We know that. Behind the plate, it's just who you feel comfortable with that at that position. You know,
I think Wells is a better defensive catcher, but I also think the Yankees are in that situation. Are they going to sacrifice defense for offense? And what does Max Fried want? Too.
Yeah, I mean, has Rice really had that many pass balls? Have there really been that many screw ups by him? I don't really think
Wells steals a ton of strikes behind the plate, and that is also something very. I mean, that's going to be an important thing too. Come the postseason, and especially when you're in a three game series and you have to win two games to advance, every little thing is magnified. This is not like a five game series or a seven game series where if you drop game one, you still have time to settle into the series and get things in the right direction and still win the series. The Yankees don't win on Tuesday, you're already in survival mode. And that's what's so dangerous about this wild card series. You know, you can go 0-0 for with Garrett Crochet over 7 innings. You bring in Devin Williams or Fernando Cruz, and that splitter hangs or that changeup hangs, and it's 2-0 in the blink of an eye. They bring in Chapman, you lose 2-0. You know, Wednesday night, you're fighting for your life. Whereas if that happens in the DS or the championship series, yeah, it sucks you lost game one, but you have time to settle into the series and still come back, or you're not emptying the tank in the third or fourth inning. You know, if you're down 1-0 and Rodon looks a little sketchy, that you have to start, you know, you have to go to Weaver in the third or fourth inning. Everything changes with a loss in game one in the wild card series. That's why you can't overthink this. You can't get too cute, and you just have to put your best 9 guys out there. That's the way the Yankees are going to win this game on Tuesday night. And if the Yankees win on Tuesday night, they're winning the series. That, you want to offer an official prediction? We can save that for the end of the show. But if the Yankees win on Tuesday, I'm confident they'll find a way to win one of the next 2 games. If they don't win on Tuesday, we're probably recording a show on Thursday night. Honestly. That's the way I feel about it. If they don't win.
It's all about momentum. This is the way I think about it. And yeah, I think this is a team that really, really reacts to big moments, big wins and stuff like that. It seems that way throughout the season, with the exception of a game or two. And I think, yeah, if Boston knocks the bricks off our face on Tuesday, I think that this team comes in and they'll look like shit again on Wednesday. I think it's inevitable at that point. I don't even think that there's a chance to go to a game 3. That's how I think that they've looked. So, I mean, I'm probably even more pessimistic about it than you are. I'm just, I don't know. I have a horror reel of Anthony Volpe mishaps and Jazz Chisholm throwing balls into the dugout, like reeling through my head right now. Like, my anxiety's already starting up. So,
breaking news, you want to hear it?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
Bad Bunny will perform at the Super Bowl halftime show this year.
But he's not doing any shows in the United States, I thought.
We don't get political here, okay? I'm just reading what.
That's not political. That's why he said he wasn't doing any shows in the United States.
Yeah, for political reasons, okay?
Yeah, but he was doing shows in Puerto Rico, which is, I don't know, whatever.
I'm just giving you the news, okay? I was trying to find
one of its hats today for my coworker, and they're like, no, those sold out so fast. I actually had one. Or not, maybe it wasn't Bad Bunny. It was one of them. It was this. I bought one on accident, and I didn't know what the hell it was. It had a Colombian flag on it. I'm like, oh, I'm not Colombian. I feel like I'm a poser with this, but I really like the hat. And so I sold it to my coworker.
We're going
to
get the, quote, A team. For the Yankee series against the Red Sox. It's going to be their Sunday night baseball crew, Ravitch, Coney, and Eduardo Perez. So it'll be nice to get somebody in the booth for a postseason series that doesn't fucking absolutely despise the Yankees. And we might actually hear some biased in our favor, maybe. But, Coney will tell it like it is.
I like Coney. I like listening to him.
But
I really like me some David Cone.
These are Aaron Judge's final numbers for the year. I mean, this is just absurd. 53 home runs, 137 runs scored, 114 RBIs, 331 batting average, 457 on base percentage. This fucking guy got on base 46% of the time this year. 688 slug, 1.145 OPS, 205 WRC plus, and he finished as a 10 WAR player.
But he doesn't catch every ball of the game.
He doesn't squat. He doesn't squat for 120 pitches.
He doesn't have these amazing glutes.
I mean, what else do you have to say there? I mean, we got plenty. We made the case last week on Monday's show. I mean, we'll have hopefully not a lot of time, but time to talk about this again in the off season. I mean, what else are you going to say?
As we opened
the show, we said the importance of the Yankees winning division games. Well, the Yankees aren't going back to the World Series without winning division games, okay? The Yankees have to get through the AL East just to get back to the ALCS this year. And I might have misspoke on the show last week where I thought that they reseeded. I don't know why I thought that. For some reason, I thought that. But they don't reseed in baseball. So if the Yankees get past the Red Sox, they're facing Toronto. So the Yankees are going to have to beat two AL East teams to get back to the ALCS. So it just comes back full circle about the importance of beating teams in your division. Well, if you can't do that, you're not going anywhere this year. And nope. You know what this is called? This is called a segue. Okay.
Into.
You know who else is not going anywhere this year, or who is definitely not going anywhere this year?
Tell me.
Well, that would be the New York Mets, okay? None of this means anything unless the Yankees get back to the World Series. All this gloating, that's why I don't really want to talk a lot of shit, but it's not going to make me feel any better if the Yankees don't get back to the World Series. I'm not going to, you know, throw a parade if the Yankees don't get back to the World Series because this happened. But today, the New York Mets were eliminated from the postseason. They lost 4-0 to the Miami Marlins. They let the Cincinnati Reds back into the postseason because the Reds in a win-and-in situation lost, and due to the tiebreaker scenario, they got in because the Mets lost. Okay, the last thing I want to do as we sit here and talk about the Yankees going to chase 28 and going to play postseason baseball on Tuesday is talk about the team from Queens. But you know what? I have to. I posed this question to Chris and Ryan before we record it. Should I talk about the show, to talk about the Mets on the show tonight? And Chris responded and said, you'd be doing a disservice to the show and the viewers if I didn't. And I said, you know what? You're right. I would be. All the shit that was talked all off season long, I have to say something. You don't let all the bullshit that was spewed out of Met fans' mouths just go because the Yankees have a postseason game on Tuesday. $339 million can buy you a lot of things in this world. What it can't buy you is a postseason appearance. Because the New York Mets are going home. They're flying from Miami back to Citi Field, packing their bags, and they're going on vacation. Every single Met fan that I know, that I encountered on social media, we're not little brother anymore. We own New York. We got Juan Soto. We're better than the Yankees. You're going home. We're playing baseball on Tuesday night, and you're going home. I remember saying this about the Jets a long time ago. The Jets wanted to win back pages. The Giants wanted to win football games. Now we can apply it here. The Mets wanted to win back pages. The Yankees wanted to win baseball games. The Mets went out there and they got Juan Soto. And you talked, and you talked, and you talked. We're not little brother anymore. We own New York. Juan Soto came here because he wanted to win. What you win, Juan? An early vacation? Huh? You get to hit the golf course a couple days earlier? Where's Aaron Judge going? Where's Giancarlo Stanton going? Where's Max Fried going to the postseason? Y'all crying in your milk right now that $339 million couldn't buy you a postseason appearance when you ran your mouths for months and months and months. We own New York. We own New York. You couldn't even own the Miami Marlins. You're losers. You're always going to be losers. You can change the owner. You can go out there and give Juan Soto $750 million. You're still the Mets. You're the gum that sticks to our shoes. That's who you'll be. That's who you'll always be. And you can run around and pump your chest and beat your chest and think that you did something because you won and got Juan Soto. And you laughed because we went out there and got Max Fried. And what did Max Fried do? Lead baseball in wins this year. You went out there and laughed. Oh, Cody Bellinger, he's not Juan Soto. And you're right, you're not. But all Cody Bellinger did was go out there and hit 29 home runs and drive in 98 runs and play better defense than Juan Soto could ever dream of. And you allowed us to go out there and play Trent Grisham every day, who went out there and hit 30-plus home runs this year. And the aggregate of that led the Yankees back to the postseason, where Juan Soto is going home. So continue to talk and continue to think that what happens in December means that anything come October, because it doesn't mean a goddamn thing. You all wanted to go out there and run your mouths and think that you did something. And I said, you know what? Let them have this moment. We'll see what happens. And here we were in game 162, and all you had to do and go out there and beat the friggin' Miami Marlins to go to the postseason, and you didn't score a run. So congratulations. You got Juan Soto, who thought that going to the Mets was the best thing for his future. Well, guess what? You're going home, buddy. You don't get to repeat the magic of October of last year because you're not playing October baseball. So remember, anytime you want to go out there and beat your chest and tell you that your little brother, that's just you in DeLulu land. That's your Met fan delusion, trying to pump yourselves up to think that you'll be anything other than the gum that sticks to a Yankee fan's shoe. Because you won the back page, but you didn't win enough baseball games. And you're going home. And you know what? I don't feel sorry for you, and I don't root against the Mets, but I'll tell you what. I laughed inside. I didn't laugh outwardly. I laughed inside. It was a little giggle in my stomach that I said that I had to listen to this shit all offseason and all through the regular season when the Mets were 20-plus games over 500 and we got Soto and you guys suck and yada, yada, and on and blah, blah, blah. You're going the fuck home and deal with it. Because that's what you are, a bunch of fucking losers. So remember that. Go out there and go and steal another player from the Yankees. And when you have a general manager that thinks that Clay Holmes as a project to go out there and be a starter after being a reliever his entire career is how you get to the postseason, go ahead, continue to think that. When we all know what a disaster Frankie Montas is, when that's how you build a rotation in New York, when you have $339 million payroll, you wanted to think that you did something. You did nothing. You paid Juan Soto $50 million this year to hit a bunch of meaningless home runs. And you want to know why they're meaningless? Because you're going home. None of his home runs led you to October. None of his home runs are going to put you in the World Series. But continue to think that he came here because he loved you. Because he gave you the best chance to win. Because in the first opportunity that he had to show what a great organization the Mets were, they met it up again. They let the Cincinnati Reds back into a postseason spot. They didn't even drive the car into the garage and get themselves into postseason. They lost to a team that was playing for nothing. And the Mets did the same exact thing. But they own New York. They're the Kings now. You're the Kings of being our little brother. And you'll always be the little brother to the New York Yankees. Don't ever fucking forget that. The next time that you think that winning the back pages means that you did something in life, remember 2025 and how you fucking fell flat on your face. And the Yankees are playing October baseball again. All the old tweets are resurfacing. And I'm laughing at the Ben Yoles and the Tommy Lou Gowers and, you know, the Seven Line Army and even Ben Verlander. The Mets are better. The Mets spend more money. The Mets are garbage. So remember that. And yeah, none of this is going to make me feel better if the Yankees get knocked out before we get back to the World Series. I'll admit that. But like I said, I'd be doing a disservice to everybody that's ever listened to this show if I didn't take a couple minutes out here to talk about this. So beat your chest now and think that if the Yankees don't get back to the World Series, it somehow erases the sting of what happened to you this year. And I'm sure that's what will happen to the Met fans. But just remember this. You're an epic failure. You'll always be an epic failure. And no amount of money Steve Cohen will ever spend will change the Mets from being an epic failure.
First of all, it's King Cohen. Don't disrespect his name, yo. It's King Cohen. And I will sit there and I will own the name Little Brother for the entirety of my Yankee career. But I want it to be known that the Mets are, if the Yankees are Little Brother, the Mets are the crazy cousin that doesn't even get invited to the family barbecue at this point. Because they're a bunch of fucking bums. And it doesn't come from a place of malice where it's like, oh, you signed Juan Soto over us. We wanted him. It's nothing to do with it. You got the guy that we wanted. We understood that. We talked about it for a week or two. We knew how much we would miss him. But it just came from a point where we've listened to the shit talk all season long. Whether it was on the radio, because where we live, everybody on the radio is a fucking Mets fan, with the exception of like one or two guys. You see all the stuff on TikTok or Twitter, and it's like, you know, King Cohen went out and did his thing. Well, a bunch of money got you nothing. You got Juan Soto on your team, who's going to play there to 2039. We'll be well into our 50s by the time that this guy's still on the friggin' Mets, being a washed-up DH. There's no excuse for him and the rest of his team to not make the playoffs. You got Pete Alonso, who was probably the best player on their team this season, just opt out of their contract, out of his contract. Now is Cohen going to go out?
He couldn't even wait till the body got cold before he opted out of that contract.
Which is insane. So that to me, now you got Alonso, who either wants a lot of money, he's like saying, fuck you, pay me. Because that could have been a behind the doors, closed, you know, type of thing. You know how Cole was going to opt out. They're like, yeah, go ahead. You know, we heard about it. It was a little while on. He's like, oh, no, I don't opt out. And there's a way they could have handled that a little bit better. It just goes to show you that, like, even Alonso's like, fuck this, I'm outie. I can't pay. Listen, if Alonso ends up back on their team next year, I'll be amazed. Someone's going to pay that guy. And Cohen got all pissed off with him last year and didn't want to deal with it. And even said, I got it a little bit out of hand. I was getting aggravated. Now we can move on to the Soto thing or wherever it was. I go, okay. That was your best player this fucking season. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was consistent. Juan Soto was abysmal. He was nowhere to be found in the beginning of the season. But we're a little brother? Fine. I'd rather be little brother than the New York Mets, okay? Like I said, I will hold that title, you know, dearly. Because as long as I'm not looking like a goddamn macaroni and cheese box out there losing to the fucking Miami Marlins. Now, we lost to the Miami Marlins, but you know what? It cost us the division. It did. But it cost them the playoffs. You know, it is what it is. This is supposed to be the best team on paper. It was supposed to be the best team. They were one of the best teams, and they just fell flat on their face. Once they started losing, they just started slipping and slipping, and there was no coming back for the New York Mets. And now their most consistent player just opted out of his contract. So now where are you going to be? Is he going to come back? Is he going to be there? I don't think so. Any self-respecting person, you know, after the shit that Cohen said, how it was aggravating dealing with him and all that, I'd be so gonzo, wouldn't it be funny? And there's going to be people lining up to make Pete Alonso offers this year because he had a phenomenal year. Last year, not so much. This year, you know, so they could have their Juan Soto. They could have their Clay Holmes. It's like the Mets are the Yankees light. They don't want to be the little brother anymore, but they got Carlos Mendoza as their coach. They have Clay Holmes out there pitching. They got Juan Soto out there sucking in right field. You know, Frankie Montas. It's just like the Mets just keep going through and recycling. Dallin Betances was another player that they signed after us. They had Severino last year. It's like they sign all our players that we don't want anymore. Well, look where it got you this year. Nowhere. So, sayonara, goodbye. I'm glad I don't have to listen to that bullshit anymore. I can only imagine the stuff that I'm going to hear in the morning, the excuses, the attacks on the Yankees. Yeah, but, you know, the Frank the Tank video was amazing, work of art. I'm going to watch it another 15 times today. It's not that I wanted them to lose, because believe me, I like baseball. And if the Yankees get knocked out during this, I would root for the Mets because they're the closest thing to a home team at that point, and I want New York to take it. But the shit talking at the beginning of this year was so out of pocket. A big fuck you. You got what you deserved. Take your medicine. Sit down. Shut up. It is what it is. Ha ha. Bye bye. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on your way out.
Yeah, and that's all that needs to be said. So, bye-bye, Mets. So, now that we come to the end of the show here, it's time to offer an official prediction on the wild card series. I'll let you go first.
Wild card series, I'm going to say Yankees are going to take it in two, the first two games, because I don't think they win it any other way.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's all going to come down to game one. Okay, I really do think that the Yankees are playing their best baseball of the year right now. I think this is a hot team. I think this is a confident team. I'm confident about them. Like I said earlier in the show, I'm more confident about this team than I was last year's team. I think this is a better, more well-rounded team, especially if Aaron Judge is going to have his 09 postseason, A-Rod postseason run here. The thing that scares me about the Yankees in totality in this postseason is playing these two extra games, playing this extra round, and then having to go through two American League East teams. That's what scares me. But right now, heading into the postseason, I'm very confident that this is a different team. I feel different. I just have a different feeling about this team than I have in years past. And I think there's a lot less dead spots in this lineup than there were last year, okay? But like you said, you think that the only way that they can get this done is winning in two games, and I completely agree. And that's why I'll pick the Yankees in two games. You get game one, you make Boston play to survive in game two. You don't play to survive in game two. You make them play to survive in game two. This way, then you can dictate how that game gets played. Or you get into their bullpen in maybe the second or third inning. The Yankees do that. We'll see you in Toronto on Saturday. So I'll take the Yankees in two, because fuck Boston.
Here, here.
So, obviously, things are going to be all over the place during the postseason. Our recording schedule is going to be as follows on the off days. So, hopefully, for the Yankees, that is, you know, Thursday, meaning that they won and we'll preview the ALDS, or it could be possibly Friday, meaning that they would have to play Thursday to wrap it up, and Friday in the, leading into the ALDS. And then hopefully, you know, just look at ALDS off days and ALCS off days and World Series off days. But that's the world. That's the recording schedule. The last thing I want to do is before my birthday on Saturday is to come on here and do the obituary for the 2025 New York Yankees. And I really hope that we're not doing that. I feel pretty confident that we won't be doing that.
No, I don't even want to think that way. I just want to get to Tuesday.
And speaking of birthdays, yours is next Tuesday, and I just
saw next Yankees, Tuesday,
and I saw the Yankees have put tickets on sale now that we know what the schedule could possibly be for Game 3 of the division series on that.
Tuesday. They're going to make it, and I'm going to make it my way to that game. I think,
you know, and you know what really pisses me off here, and I'll say this, you know. It's not even like joking, like, ha ha, we put you guys up in our spring training home and you couldn't win a game for us and, you know, get us the division. But what it really comes down to is you fucked up my entire birthday, you scummy pieces of shit in Tampa, okay? You fucked up my entire birthday. My birthday is Saturday, okay? My wife told me that if the Yankees won the division and they were playing game one at home on Saturday, she was getting me tickets to the game for my birthday. Now what am I getting for my birthday? Huh? What am I getting for my birthday now, Tampa? Probably nothing. You really fucked up my entire birthday, you scummy fucks. After we let you play in Steinbrenner Field, you covered up anything that had a Yankee emblem or a logo on it to put your shitty sunburst over. And you fucked up my entire birthday, you pieces of shit.
Is that a sunburst? Is that what it is?
Yes.
I never knew that. I just thought it was some stupid, like, kapow thing.
No, it's a sunburst. The ray is the ray of sunshine now. It's the sunshine state.
That is such a shitty, ew. I had no idea. They were the Devil Rays. That's,
yeah, and then now they rebrand it. They're the Rays.
They're Rays of Sunshine.
Yes, that's, you didn't know this?
Oh my God. No, I don't pay attention to them enough. Oh my God, that is so gross. We're the Tampa Bay Rays of Sunshine.
Yes, it's a sunburst.
God,
you put a sunburst over the most recognizable logo in all of sports, and
it looks like something you would hit the baseball bat, and it would be like in a comic, like,
and you
pow.
And you ruined my birthday. Now my wife is going to go to the dollar store on Saturday because she forgot to get me something. Okay.
Did you get kaleidoscope?
And I could have been at Yankee Stadium for game one of the division series. Thank you. Thank you for ruining my birthday, you fucking scummy pieces of shit.
Fucking Tampa Bay Rays of Sunshine.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, you guys listening could make my birthday a whole lot better, okay, if you leave us a 5-star rating and review and are subscribed on your favorite podcast platform. My birthday is Saturday, so you will definitely hear from us one way or another before Saturday. Hopefully it's to preview the American League Division Series and not, you know, putting this body in a casket here for the 2025 season. But we're not going to think that way. We're going to be back either Thursday or Friday previewing the American League Division Series. You agree with that?
I agree.
So please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform, the one you're listening to us on right now. And make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube. Like I said, later on this evening, I will be with Pete, Francis, and Kevin previewing the postseason on NYYU for Knights of the Roundtable. So don't miss that. Make sure you are subscribed there and tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We want to thank everybody for listening to episode 490. I forgot already. Is this 494? Why, as we're taking it home here, do I have to forget things? Why do I have to be so old? Yes, 494. We thank everybody for listening to episode 494. Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.